somebody asks you, tell me, how do you live the Christian life? How would you answer that? How do you live Christian life? I'm going to give you a way to answer that. I mean, I've been trying to figure this question out for 44 years, and by observation and by reading and all the rest of it, I've got some of it figured out. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out, but just to use an illustration, during the pandemic, my wife and I both got long COVID, and we were sick for a long time, and I could hardly get dressed. I mean, it was an effort to actually fasten the buttons on my shirt. It was really, really weird. Anyway, we heard on the radio that if you took high doses of vitamin D3, that it would help you recover from this long COVID. So we went out to Walmart, basically just about made it. We bought the biggest bottle of D3 we could have, and we were just popping those pills like we were addicts. But the amazing thing is, it worked. Now, so I'm going to suggest to you that a successful Christian life, you have to take vitamin D3 every day. Now, before you think I'm a heretic, I'll explain what I mean. I think the Christian life divides into three D's. Okay? The first one is that the Christian life is a devotional life. What I mean by that is it's a love relationship with a living person. Okay? It was... when you realize all that the Lord Jesus has done to you, it's easy to learn to love that person who has done so much for you. Like the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. And so the greater you understand how much he loves you, you just respond to that love. And so I want us to just keep that in our minds, because I'm going to speak of one of these three D's specifically tonight, but I think that if we didn't love Jesus, the one I'm going to speak about would just be kind of a legalism, and we don't want that. So the love relationship with a living person, it's a devotional life. The second D is it's a dependent life. What I mean by that is you can't do it in your own strength. It's impossible. In fact, scripture says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth, near finish the verse. No good thing, right? So my flesh is so rotten. It's if I'm doing it in my own strength, it's impossible to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. So I can't do it in my own strength. So I have to depend. Now we're going to be this weekend. We're going to be speaking about the Holy Spirit, and I really believe that part of the joyful, victorious Christian life is learning to depend on the Holy indweller who lives within you. And so how does that look practically? So it looks like this for me, at least. When I get up in the morning, before I put my feet on the ground, I say to the Lord, I can't live this Christian life today. And I know it's true. Can. I said, unless you live it through me, it's not going to work. So I begin just by a total expression of dependence on the Lord. And I feel it keenly even throughout the day, because it's just so natural to revert back to doing things in your own strength. Okay? So, devotional life, dependent life. This is the one I want to speak on particularly tonight. A disciplined life. That's the tough part. Look at 1 Timothy 4, the Vibers, in verse 8. And so verse 7 and 8, it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And then it says this, it says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promised the life that now is, that which is to come. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. But I want to just focus on this phrase, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, in verse 7. That word exercise is from a Greek word, gymnasia, from which we get our English word, gymnasia. Okay? That's where the English word gymnasia comes from. And so the thought is this, that just as an athlete will never drift into winning a prize if he's not, kind of disciplined, right? He has to train, he has to You don't get to look like, you know, kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger or one of these that he could be before your generation. I don't know, is there a muscle man in this day? I don't know. You don't get to look like that unless you go to the gym, unless you work out. Like you can tell, I do a lot of that myself. But it really is a lot of effort and discipline to do that. Many years ago, there was a guy in England, and he was in the Olympics, and he was doing a decathlon, 10 events. And I remember seeing a documentary about this guy, and he won the gold medal, I think, 2 years in a row. So it's 8 years apart, every 4 years. But his life was completely disciplined with the thought of winning the prize. And so he would run every day, he would swim every day, he'd do all these different things, he watched his diet. I mean, his life was a complete discipline in order to win the prize. The alternative, you see, if we're not disciplined, we tend to drift, right? So it says, discipline yourself towards godliness. And what I want to say is this: you will never drift into a godly life. If you drift, I'll guarantee which way you'll drift. You'll always drift away from the Lord. You will never drift towards the Lord.
Yeah.
So you need discipline. But I'm saying the discipline, if there's not the devotion, if you're not in love with Christ, it just becomes kind of almost like being a monk kind of thing. That's not what we're saying. It's because you love the Lord and because you're depending on the Lord, you want to live a life that's pleasing to Him, and there has to be a discipline. So let's think about what do you think are some of the disciplines of the Christian life? Anybody, any suggestions?
Daily reading.
Daily reading of Scripture. Okay.
Prayer.
Okay, prayer, that's another one. Any others?
Weekly studying the Word.
Okay, so that would come under our relationship with the Word of God. That's very good.
Fellowship with other believers.
Okay, assembly life. Yep. One more.
Preparing the Word.
Yep, witnessing. Right? All of those four things, you never drift into them. Okay? So when I was first saved, there was a young group, your people's group that we were involved in England. It's called the Young Life Campaign. And to me, it was the best young people's group I've ever been involved with, because they were disciplined. So there was a reading schedule, and everybody in the group was to read through the Bible every year. And they'd ask you, what did you read today? And they knew what you should have read. And if you're not there, they say, you're slacking, you know, you're drifting. Get back to the program. And so from being saved, I've read through the Bible every year, because that early discipline was just kind of put into my mind through that young people's group. It was tremendous. And so, again, and what's interesting about this, how many of you, by the way, have read through the Bible completely, Genesis to Revelation? Okay. A few, but many habits in this week, right? I remember doing I was at a conference, and I was doing Bible study methods and how to study the scriptures. So I asked a simple question: how many of you read through the Bible? There's about 60 people, adults, in the group, all pretty serious. Only six of them had read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I said, shame on you. You want to study the Bible, you won't even read it. Start with reading it. Because there's nothing better than the daily consecutive reading of the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Now, the interesting thing is, a lot of people wait till January the 1st, because a lot of the reading schedules go by a calendar. And so, okay, I'll wait. But if you say that tonight, I'll wait till January the 1st, you know what's going to happen when you get to January the 1st? You'll have forgotten all about it. Won't happen. So what would be a good thing is to start tonight. And what I do is, I don't look at the calendar. I just do a tick when I've done the readings for the day. Okay? And so I just tick in, and I just print a new list up every year. And that's the way I do it. And so it doesn't matter when you start. If you start Genesis 1 tonight, and Matthew 1, and Acts 1, and Romans 1, and you just keep reading, this time next year, you'll have read through the Bible in a year. And then you start all over again. And you know what's amazing about the Bible? Is in the last number of years, I do it every 6 months, because I read about George Mueller. Anybody read the biography of George Mueller? It's amazing for George Mueller. He'd been saved 53 years, and he said the first 3 years, he didn't read the Bible much. But he said, since then, he said, I've read it 100 times. So I did the math. Twice a year. And I thought, no wonder the man had such faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Every 6 months, he's So I thought, well, George Miller can do it. I can do it. You know what? It's 8 chapters a day, and it takes about 30 minutes. That's amazing. It takes 21 days to develop a habit. So you can do that. And I want to encourage you to do it, because, and what's so amazing about it, if I do it every 6 months, and when I start again, I can't wait to start again. You can do that with any other book. You know, no matter, it wouldn't grip you. But the Word of God does, because it's living. It's a living Word. And the Lord shows you things. And one thing that, again, just a little suggestion, this has really been helpful for me, is that usually I look for a theme each time I go through. So right now I'm looking for covenants, the word covenants. I'm interested in the covenants of Scripture. So I'm paying attention to covenants, or when God makes an oath or swears he's going to do something. And so I'm just highlighting those things. Now I'm paying attention to the rest, but I've got this focus that keeps me kind of tuned in. I've done that with grace. I've done it with the holiness of God. I've done it with the Holy Spirit. And so each time I just pick another theme and kind of keep that in mind, and it keeps it kind of alive. So I just want to encourage you, the discipline of the daily consecutive reading of the Word of God. A friend of mine, he was working at a camp this summer, and he was doing devotions with the camp leaders, who were all pretty committed young people, and he asked them the question, how many of you read your Bible every day? And again, in this group of top-notch, supposedly young people, there was 3 of them that said they did every day. The rest of them said, well, maybe 1 or 2 days a week. Okay. Now, Bible describes itself as our food. Yeah. Right? So Job, one of my favorite verses, Job 23:12, he says, I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. So what Job is saying is, if I got late and it was a choice between a sausage McMuffin and egg, or my Bible reading, I'd read the Bible, because I esteem the words of his mouth. And just think about that, by the way. That's what it is when you're reading the Bible. You're reading the words of his mouth. It's God speaking. He says, that's more important to me than my necessary food. And so he does that every day. And so I would suggest that that's what we should be thinking of, doing it every day. And some only twice a week. It's not very disciplined. And it will lead to you drifting. And I don't want you to drift. Because when you drift away from the Lord, you go into the world, and the world is not a good place. And so, we don't want you drifting. But you have to have some discipline. And so, again, that discipline is very important. So, another one that I think is very, very difficult. Anybody find it easy to pray? Anybody have discipline issues in praying? Yeah, I think most of us do. And I think sometimes when, you know, the Lord talks about go to your closet and, you know, see your face of your Father in a closet, so a private place, find a place. Well, even when I find a place and go into that place to pray, it's amazing. Maybe I'm going to experience this. And as I'm just trying to get quiet before the Lord, all of a sudden, a to-do list will come into my mind of all I've got to do this week. Before you're not, you're miles away. Yeah, some people are laughing at you, right? It's like they're talking about. And the discipline, you've got to pull yourself back and say, why am I here? You're here to see the face of God. Now, one thing, again, that was taught in this young people's group many years ago that's really stuck with me is a little formula that helps when we pray. And the formula is Acts. Anybody ever heard of Acts before, A-C-T-S? Okay, have you ever used that formula? You know what it is? So A, you begin in adoration, okay? So you start off by speaking to the Lord about how much you admire him, how much you appreciate him, things about him that you have appreciated recently. And so it's good to spend some time adoring the Lord. And I think it's really important, because it reminds us who we're speaking to. I remember I used to hear these guys preach in Ireland, and before they preach, they get up and pray, and they seem to be spending a long time telling the Lord who he is. And I'm thinking, well, doesn't the Lord know who he is? Why are you telling, you know, like, the Lord knows exactly who he is. They weren't doing it for his benefit, they were doing it for their benefit. Once I recognize who I'm speaking to, then I can come with some pretty big requests, right? Because he's the one who's all-powerful. So my request may seem big to me, but to him it's no big deal. He spoke the walls into existence. Why would it be a problem for him to answer that prayer? And so adoration is a good place to begin. The next one is C, for confession. And you'd think that confession would come first, because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. So you say, well, why would you not confess first? Because then it would say cats, and we don't want to bring cats into the picture at all. No, it's a little worried. Somebody not fond of cats. Anyway, no. The reason why is, I think the more we come into his presence in adoration, the more conscious we are of maybe sins in us than we even realize. Okay? So it's like Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5, he's pronouncing woes on everybody. Woe to this one, woe to that one, woe to the other. And then he comes into the presence of the holiness of God, and they no longer say woe to them. It says woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And so adoration, confession, T is thanksgiving. That's a great one. Is there anything you can think of that you could thank God for? It's good to think about fresh things. So I'm not just rabbiting the same old things. Like, what in the last 24 hours, what can you thank the Lord for? And so it's good to be thankful and to tell the Lord you're thankful for many things. And then the S is supplication. That's when you start asking for new things from the Lord, things that you'd like to see happen. And so prayer is a great discipline, very important discipline. And I want to encourage you. It's interesting that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, it says that as Jesus prayed, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's amazing that the disciples never asked the Lord Jesus to say, Lord, teach us to preach. Even though he was the best preacher that ever walked the earth. Never man spoke like this man. Even his enemies said no. No greater preacher. They did say, Lord, will you set up and we'll do some homiletics classes. We want to know how to preach. No. You go to a Bible school or a seminary, they'll have homiletics class. They'll teach you how to preach. But they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's interesting, isn't it? You go to a seminary, I guarantee there won't be a class on how to pray. Probably because the professor's got one house. The Lord you have. Interesting, isn't it? So prayer is really important, and it's a discipline. It really takes discipline. But it's also encouraging when you start to see some answers. Yeah. Keep a prayer journal. I have a prayer journal. I go through it. I've memorized it, so I don't even need to look at it anymore. But ever so often, I go and look at it. And I put kind of sub things underneath. And it's amazing. Just recently, I went and had a clear out of all the things that had been answered that I prayed for specifically. And it was so encouraging going through. Another thing that I think in praise has really helped me is that, kind of to divide your week up so you pray for different things each day. So because I travel a lot speaking in different places, I'm interested in the Lord's work in different countries. But if I pray for all the places I'm interested in, I'd never get anything else done. It would take all day. But when I divide it over 7 days, it can break it down into bite-sized pieces. And so usually my week goes something like this. So Monday I pray for Europe, the dark continent. Ireland, Norway, all these places. I have a real personal interest in those places, England, where I grew up. Yeah, and then on Tuesday, I'm praying for Southeast Asia. I have a particular for the assemblies in Singapore and Malaysia. So I pray for India as well. So Southeast Asia gets prayed for. And then on Wednesday, I pray for the workers in North America. I've got a list of different brethren that are going around the country. Thursday, I tend to gravitate towards Africa and made several trips to Africa. So they come in on Thursday. Friday's Canada. We don't want to forget it's north of the border. I pray for them. Saturday, I pray for Israel and for the Jews. It's their Sabbath. I pray that some Jews somewhere will find rest in the Messiah. And then Sunday, I pray for assemblies because they're going to be meeting on Sunday. So that's my list, and I go through that, and it's been a real joy over the years. But again, I'm just giving you practical suggestions on how to make your Christian life more kind of disciplined, more interesting. So those seem to be very helpful to me personally. And so prayer is very important. Let me say another thing that's important. We mentioned about fellowship. And I want to specifically talk about the discipline of attending the assembly and the meetings of BLC. Now, some of you, you're dependent on other people to get you there. Maybe your parents. But maybe you could be the burr in their saddle to get them to go if they're not coming regularly and encourage them to come to the meeting. Why is that so important? Well, the Lord says we're to exhort one another daily while it's still to be, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so we need each other. We need to be encouraged by one another. We need to be challenged. How are you doing? You know, that night that guy spoke, you started reading the Bible. How is it going? Are you keeping up with your readings? How's your Acts prayer life going on? Right? We need that exhortation, that encouragement from one another. And he says, we need to do it meeting together even all the more as you see the day approaching, and not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And then if you think about church and the whole life of the assembly, and one thing that I like to think about is this. Sometimes today, people, and I think part of it is we live in a consumer-driven culture. So we think about the church, and they say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Maybe some of you will go home tonight and say, didn't get anything out of that guy said. And that's the way we tend to think. You know, it's all about me. I didn't get. Well, the Lord says, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Theoretically, isn't it?
So if you come to the meeting and say, my wife and I do this when we go to our assembly, we pray, Lord, would you show us how we can be an encouragement or a blessing to somebody today? Show us how to minister. Maybe somebody just needs a hug. Maybe somebody just needs a listening ear. Maybe somebody needs to be prayed with. Whatever. But we go with that mindset. Maybe somebody needs taken out for lunch. Whatever. We go always with that mindset. How can we minister? And we always come away blessed. Because the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You never come away saying you didn't get anything out of that. I was asked to speak at a conference, big conference, an assembly with 800 people in fellowship. Hard for you to imagine that. But they had done a survey of those in fellowship. And the elders had done this survey. And they asked about the preacher. And the message came back, preaching was off. Need to up the game. So they asked me to go and speak on preaching for the guys who preach. There's a group of guys in the assembly who preach. Teach these guys how to preach. So I said, on one condition, I can also speak to the audience or the congregation about hearing. You see, the Lord puts more emphasis on hearing then he does speaking. He says, take heed how you hear. Let him that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. When God's people went wrong, it was because they weren't listening. So I said, if I can speak to the congregation, I spoke to the congregation first, and you'd be amazed at how many people came up to me afterwards and said, I'd like to fill that survey in again. Because they realized it wasn't all the preacher's fault. A lot of it was their fault. They hadn't learned to listen. They weren't paying attention. They weren't praying for the preacher who was scheduled to preach. They weren't coming with a mindset, Lord, you spoke through Balaam's ass. You can speak through this guy. It's not going to be a problem for you. Right? The mentality, God can speak. And so it's a whole mindset. That when you go to the meeting, how are you going? Are you going to give? Are you going to hear what God has to say? And it changes everything. And so I want to encourage you. You need the fellowship. You need the encouragement. Maybe ask questions. You know, one of the things that people are not good at is asking good questions. I was amazed when we first came to the U.S. We were in a particular place and nobody ever asked us anything. Now, I would think, you know, somebody who grew up in a different country, somebody would at least have a little bit of inquisitiveness to say, well, what was it like growing up in Ailes?
Yeah.
What kind of foods did you like? How did that, you know, nobody asked anything. And I think just the general public, people don't know how to ask questions. Asking questions of one another. How are you doing spiritually? Are there any areas in your life where you're struggling that we can trade you about? Just learn to ask good questions of one another. It really helps. And then do something. If they're struggling, pray with them. And say, I'm going to put this on the list and pray for you about this area. And maybe if it's an area where you had struggled with and you've got some help and victory, share with them things that the Lord used in your life to help you get victory over that. But the point is, we need each other much more than you realize to be successful in the Christian pursuit. And then the final thing, I don't want to keep you too late, but I want you to be very alert tomorrow and learn how to listen to the message. You know, but I want to go to bed. That's why it was, I've been meeting at 1 o'clock last night, so we're ready to bed. Anyway, final thought that I want to bring before you, again, very practical thing, which brings learning to share your faith. Because I really do think the more you share your faith, the more real it becomes to you. It's kind of an interesting thing. The more you give it away, the more precious it becomes to you. And so my wife and I, it's really funny, we'd get into conversation with people and couldn't seem to get there in terms of getting the gospel in or whatever. And then as soon as the person had gone, you'd think of brilliant things to say. Have you ever had that happen? After the event, you come up with these great, you remember something in the conversation that was a hook, and you, oh, I should have said this. And so we said to the Lord, Lord, you know, you've given us some great things to say, but the timing is off. If you could just back that up a bit, we'd be much more effective in our witnessing. And, you know, when you come and being honest with God, he really helped you. And he began to help us. And so we find it a lot easier to turn the everyday conversations with people into spiritual conversations because the Lord delights to answer prayer. And we pray specifically, Lord, we're having great thoughts, but it's too late. We want to back it up for us, and we'll be faithful to do it. And the Lord gives you those opportunities. And there's lots of different ways. You know, one of the things we find very helpful is when we go to restaurants, we always say to the waitress, we're going to be giving thanks to God for our food, but do you have anything we can pray for you about? And you know what? I've had people actually tear up. Waitresses, I've got a brother in Iraq, or I've got this going on, or whatever. And so I said, well, just wait, let's pray now. And I'll hold her hand. My wife's there too, so I'm not doing anything appropriate. And we pray for this one as we pray for the food. And afterwards, when we try to give her a tract, she's eager to receive it. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there who would just love something to pray for them. Just simple things. So all I'm trying to do is just help you in these very basic things in the Christian life. So here's a test. Okay, now we'll finish. Okay, what is the vitamin D3 we need to take? 3 Ds. Devotional life, right? Love relationship with a living person. Okay?
Dependent
life. Can't live this life in your own strength. Read the Lord and His Spirit to help you. Good one.
Discipline.
Okay, so how do you think you do it, honestly, in those things? Now somebody asks you, can you tell me, how do you live the Christian life? Might not be the perfect answer, but at least you've got an answer you could suggest. But I think it's a biblical answer. Because and you see, all three of them go hand in hand together. They're all perfectly harmonized together. independent life, devotional life, disciplined one. Where we struggle sometimes, and let's be honest, our culture is not very disciplined. That true? My dad's generation in England, they did national service. Everybody, wherever you were, you had to do 2 years in the military. By the time it came to my generation, it was gone. I regret that in some ways. I think that would have been good for me, the discipline. It sorted a lot of people out. A lot of people went in there, rambunctious youngsters, and got straightened out by some discipline. And so our problem is, let me give you an example. It's never been easier to study the Bible than it is today. You know why? Why is it so easy?
We got open books.
Technology, right? Like, I used to have to carry tons of books with me. Now I've got it all on my laptop. A library that I could probably never read in my lifetime is on my laptop. Made. So it's never been easier to study the Bible. It's never been hard. Why is it hard?
Distraction.
And where does the distraction come from? Same places that the blessing comes from, right? So we've got these devices that could really help you know the scriptures, but they also have TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all these other things that can suck away your time. Not necessarily doing evil things, but it just eats up time. That eats into a discipline that you should have in your life. Because you're distracted. And if you're distracted, then you're not disciplined, you drift. We don't want you drifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got to make some decisions about it. How do we deal with that? Can I suggest you don't read your Bible on your phone? Read it on a Bible or put your phone off or away while you're reading your Bible. Because if you're reading it and then you get a Facebook message, you're going to look at it, right? So, just use your Bible. By the way, let me just advocate for this too. I have a friend, he's a bachelor, and he's lonely. So he's a computer programmer. He was a submariner at one time.
Yes.
So he's a kind of an isolated guy. He likes being around people. So he goes to a coffee shop to do his Bible reading, and he used to use a tablet. And then one day he said, for all anybody in this place knows, I could be looking at pornography. But he said, the next day he said, I'm going to bring my Bible. So he brought a proper Bible, opened it up. As soon as he opened it up, started reading it, somebody came up and he got into a conversation to share the gospel. Because the Bible is a visible testimony in itself. And I heard him say that, and I used to read my phone, my Bible on my phone on the plane, because you want as least amount of junk as you can on the plane. But I thought, okay, this sounds a good idea. So the first morning I took my Bible, a smaller Bible that I use on the plane, I opened it and just started to have my quiet time. And the lady next to me, she said, Mister, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, would you pray for me? And I said, this glorious opportunity with this woman. Another time I was reading and the lady sat next to me, she said, do you know anything about the book of Revelation? I said, well, a little bit. She said, well, you could teach me the book of Revelation. The whole flight, we went through the book of Revelation just because I got a Bible out. What amazing. If I had my phone, they would know what I was looking at. I want to encourage you, we don't want to lose the hard copy Bible. I know it's so much easier on a phone, obviously. But just think of it in terms of less distraction. We're trying to minimize distraction and heighten discipline. Okay? These are just some little tips, little tools. Hope they'll be a help to you. But again, remember, hopefully you'll never forget. See, I think COVID-19... Vitamin D3 was necessary to beat the virus. I think there's another virus in the church. Complacency in 25. It's killing the church. And what's needed is high doses of the vitamin D3. Spiritual vitamin D3. So just pause in prayer. Father, we give indeed come to adore you because you are so worthy. We give you a massive plans for us for the future, reigning with you on earth for 1,000 years and then going into
the new heavens and the new earth, just a glorious future up ahead. And yet we also realize that we have to live for you now. We want to live for you now because we love you. And so we just would confess that we've been a distracted people and we haven't been as disciplined as we should be. Thank you that you love us despite that. And you give us an opportunity, even today, to make adjustments and to respond to your word. Lord, I do pray for these young people. Pray for each of them that are here. Lord, I don't want any of them to drift. I'd love to see all of them run the race well and finish strong for the Lord Jesus. And so I just really plead with you for them that they would take to heart and hear what the Spirit of God has been saying tonight about these important things, devotion, discipline, dependence upon your Spirit. I pray for each of them that we just do a work in their lives for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.